Back there, Eric, just give me a thumbs up. Okay. So I do have an encouraging message this morning. The title of the message is, God Will Take Care of You. And during the current time period that we are in now, we need to be reminded of a very comforting promise from God that is, God will take care of you. Will not parents do anything to provide for their children, even take extreme measures, which I think we've all read about in the past? How much more God will take care of his children. A contemporary song states that God is a good, good Father. He is our Heavenly Father. And he is our Almighty Heavenly Father. And it's not cliche. I mean, he can't do anything. We say, yeah, you know, we know God. He can't do anything. But we have to really digest that one. Whatever we're worrying about, he's got it. He's got the solution while we're worrying. He knows how he's going to take care of it. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. I think we've all been at some point in our lives where we think, how will I ever get out of the situation? You know, you put your best into it, your absolute best, and you're hitting a brick wall. And then God steps in. He is the God of the impossibility. Of course, there's nothing that's impossible to him. And in the Bible, we have many examples of how God can and will take care of us. If you could turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 25 to 34. These verses are also known as a cure for anxiety. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Some of this was discussed in at a prayer meeting, but we're going to be more extensive this morning. I think it's good for everyone to hear this. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor yet for your body as to what you will put on. Is not the life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air that do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what shall we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom, his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So in these verses, it's saying if God gave you life, he will provide the food to sustain it. If he gave you a body, he'll give you clothes. God will supply all our needs. And he knows what's going on in this country. There's many people in this country currently living from paycheck to paycheck, but God takes care of his children. He supplies. My mother always used to say, God knows how to stretch that dollar, and he does. God will supply all our needs. He's our Father, our Heavenly Father. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 reads, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Will supply all your needs. Look back on your life. God has given you your wants many times too. I mean, stuff you really didn't need to have, but God saw you wanted it and he gave it to you. He has given us our needs, which he always will, and sometimes he gives you your wants too. And God, with his great heart, his great, great heart, has given us our wants, as we said. If God takes care of the birds, won't he take care of you? And sometimes, like this time of year, God uses people to take care of the birds. I mean, we plant the lawns, and the birds have a feast. They love it. So God uses us to take care of the birds, too. At times, verse 27 is so important. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? At times, we all worry about something, but the Lord doesn't want us to worry. How many times have we gone to bed worrying about something? But someone once said, before you go to bed, give your troubles to God. He'll be up all night anyway. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And if something matters to you, it matters to God. It's another thing I have by my night table. If it matters to you, it matters to God. Roy Lesson wrote many inspirational greeting cards. You probably have seen them. He wrote something which says, whatever your trial, God sees. Whatever your struggle, God knows. Whatever your cry, God hears. Whatever your difficulty, God cares. Whatever your problem, God understands. Whatever your need, God provides. And worrying can add a single hour to our lives, but it certainly can shorten our lives. You know, worrying is bad for your health. It really is. And God, as creator, Jesus spoke these words as co-creator. He knows that. Worrying is bad for your health. How many times do you get a headache? You start worrying about something, you wind up with a headache. Or you've been worrying and your stomach starts bothering you. Or some other area of your body starts bothering you. Worry is bad for your health. And Jesus doesn't want us to worry. He might be looking down saying, I got it already. Or how many times have I shown my power to you? Don't you trust me yet? Is there anything that we could bring to God that he can't handle? As we always say, and I love the thought, you'll never stump him. Whatever you bring to God, he's greater. He can do anything. And it's not cliche, anything he can do. And that goes into the realm of impossibility also. I have a note at home that states, good morning, this is God. I will be handling all your problems today. I will not need your help, so have a good day. I love you. Sometimes we think we have to help God. He doesn't need our help. Jesus, as co-creator, knew and knows what worrying can do to us. And instead of worrying, he wants us to trust him for everything. And he means everything. God can do everything, so he said, trust me for everything. And verses 28 to 30 God is even concerned about the wildflowers in the field that no one is cultivating or caring for. You don't see anyone going by the side of the road cultivating any wildflowers or watering them. The flowers are still blooming. God takes care of them. He gives the flowers beauty, even if it's a blossom for just one day. Even for the one day, God gives them beauty. Wildflowers were growing out of the Mount of Beatitudes. Now it's in Israel. There's a huge mountain. It's called the Mount of Beatitudes, where this passage took place. And we were told, go and sit down on the mountain over there and just take in the scene. And it was very beautiful, because if you look over to your right a bit and down the mountain, there's the Sea of Galilee. It's very picturesque. And you look where you're sitting and down the mountain, there's flowers growing all over the mountain. That was in March. It was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And God is caring about those wildflowers. And we need to ask, if God is caring for those wildflowers, and he waters them, he cares for them, if he cares for flowers, won't he care for all of our needs? We're the pinnacle of his creation. We need to ask ourselves this morning, where is our faith? Verses 31 and 32, people who don't know God may worry, but those of us who know the Lord shouldn't worry about what we need. Look back on your life. Has God ever failed you? No. God will supply all our needs. He is a rich God and a good, good Father. And what a Father he is. Who's our Heavenly Father. And verse 33, some many of us have memorized this verse. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You put God first, he's got your life in his hands. This verse shows the condition for God's blessing and providence. His interests are to come first in our lives, as we've discussed many times. He should be the top of our priorities. We need to put the Lord first in every aspect of our lives and seek more and more of him into our lives. He must be the top priority. Then we can be assured that he will take care of everything for us. And we don't need to worry about tomorrow or our future, because God will take care of tomorrow also. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but God does, and he already has it in his hands. And the way he took care of us in the past and today, he'll take care of us tomorrow. And he's proven himself to us many, many times. If you could turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 1 to 20. A very interesting event happened over here. In 2 Kings chapter 7 and beginning at verse 1. Then Elisha said, listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. The royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? Then he said, behold, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it. Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said one to another, why do we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we will die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us go over to the camp of the Arameans or the Syrians. If they spare us, we will live. And if they kill us, we will but die. They arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. When they came to the outskirts of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear a sound of chariots and the sound of horses, even the sound of a great army, so that they said one to another, behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. Therefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp just as it was, and fled for their life. When these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they entered one tent and ate and drank. And they carried from there silver and gold and clothes and went and hid them. And they returned and entered another tent and carried from there also and went and hid them. Then they said one to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. If we wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household. So they came and called the gatekeepers of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no one there, nor the voice of man, only the horses tied and the donkeys tied, and the tents just as they were. The gatekeepers called and told it within the king's household. Then the king arose in the night and said to his servants, I will now tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry, therefore they have gone from the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we will capture them and capture them alive and get into the city. One of his servants said, please let some men take five of the horses which remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they will be in any case like the multitude of Israel who are left in it. Behold, they will be in any case like all the multitudes of Israel who have already perished. So let us send and see. They took therefore two chariots with horses, and the king sent after the army of the Syrians, saying, go and see. Then they went after them to the Jordan, and behold, all the way was full of clothes and equipment which the Syrians had thrown away in haste. Then the messengers returned and told the king. So the people went out and plundered the camp of the Syrians. Then a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king appointed the royal officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate, but the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died, just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. It happened just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel and a measure of fine flour for a shekel will be sold tomorrow about this time at the gate of Samaria. Then the royal officer answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And he said, behold, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it. And so it happened to him, for all the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died. There was a severe famine in Samaria. Now, if you remember, according to your geography, Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel. And there was a severe famine in Samaria because the army of the Syrians was surrounding Samaria. They besieged it. They wanted to force them to surrender or just take over. So the army of the Syrians surrounded Samaria. And the famine was so bad, as you read like in previous chapter, cannibalism was occurring. The people of Israel were in a real crisis. Now the leprous men that we read about made a decision to enter the camp of the Syrians. The beginning of the chapter shows us that while we are busy worrying about our problem, the Lord is already developing circumstances to solve it. Who put in these four lepers, who put in their mind to go into the camp of the Syrians? This says we die, we're going to die over here anyway. If you go into the city, we're going to die. So let's go into the camp of the Syrians. Who put it in their head? God. While they were worrying about the famine and it was severe, God already had the solution at hand. He was already working it out. And God does the same thing in our lives. While we're busy worrying about our problem and we see no way out, God's already working on the solution and he sees the way out. Now God caused these lepers to decide to enter the camp of the Syrians and take the goods and the supplies. God made the Syrian army to hear an event that didn't even exist. That's why I say it's not cliche to say God to do anything. There was no army around. And the Syrian army heard the sound of invading armies, which weren't even in the area. When God wants to do something, he does it well. Imagine hearing the sound of an invading army when nothing and no one is in the area. And the sound was so real that the army of the Syrians fled and left their belongings behind. They didn't even take their supplies with them. God can do anything. And as I said, that's not cliche. And Jesus is the Christ of every crisis. If the solution to your problem, your crisis, requires a miracle, God can do it, like he did over here. He's never short on ideas, and we sing, "How great is our God." Is anything too difficult for him? Which is in God's word, in the book of Genesis. God himself says, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Jeremiah, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Nothing is too difficult for him. Verse 16, whatever the Lord says or declares will come to pass, even if it seems impossible. If he says something, you better believe it's going to happen. There's no impossibility with God. There is something else that we could remember during our times of trials, problems, and crises. We know that even the cross was redeemed because Jesus hung on it for 6 hours. Before Jesus was crucified, the cross was known as a symbol of hatred, shame, and criminality, as we have discussed in the past. But when Jesus was crucified, the cross became a symbol of love, forgiveness, redemption, and healing. And we can view the cross as the cross of every crisis. Take all your cares, your worries, your problems, your crises to the foot of the cross. There is nothing that cannot be fixed or solved or restored at the foot of the cross. That's why I said when you come forward for prayer, picture the cross up here, not me or who's ever assisting me with prayer. Don't look at us. You picture Jesus' cross over here and anything could happen, anything at the foot of the cross. There are no impossibilities at the foot of the cross. There is infinite power at the foot of the cross. Jesus took the hatred, the shame, and criminality of the crucifixion and made it an infinite powerhouse of redemption. I just want to repeat that. Jesus took the hatred, the shame, the criminality of crucifixion and made it an infinite powerhouse of redemption. There is infinite power at the foot of the cross because Jesus hung on it for 6 hours. He is the Christ of every crisis. And the cross is the cross of every crisis because Jesus hung on it for 6 hours. How about God's response to our crises? Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Over the years, God has changed and never will. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What a promise that is. What confidence we could have in God. This is why he's saying, stop your worrying. Give your problem to me. Give your crises to me. I already know what I'm going to do to solve it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can always trust him. It would be a good idea to look back in our lives and see how Jesus has taken us through each crisis. He walked or carried us through each one, whether it was a sickness, a heartache, a financial crisis, or a job loss. He took us through each one. Do you remember Footprints in the Sand? And there, the writer said, I look back in my path of life, and I saw only one set of footprints. Like Jesus, you weren't with me the worst time of my life. And Jesus answered, you only see one set of footprints because it was then I carried you. And that's what God does to us. Carries, if we can't walk, if we can't do it anymore, he'll carry us through. This is the God we serve. He is still delivering those in bondage, healing the sick, mending broken hearts, restoring losses, and even raising the dead. But God. Too many times we limit God or leave him out of the equation completely. To say that he can't do anything is not a pretty saying that sounds nice. It's absolute truth. As the song states and what we sang this morning, it is no secret what God can do. Look back in your life, look in other lives, look in God's word. It's no secret what he can do. Do we truly realize who we are talking to when we pray? And you often think, I've heard people talk about their problems, and they say, well, you could always pray. Like, you know, you could always pray. That's the way they say it. You could always pray. Do you realize who you're talking to? Is there any limit to his wisdom, capability, or power? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And he's asking us the same question this morning. Do you think anything's too hard for me? Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Our impossibilities are God's opportunities. He is the Christ of every crisis. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3, I'll read it to you. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In closing, I want to read you Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Notice how it starts. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. This is the God that we are serving. This is the God that's going to take care of us. So I'm going to close with that thought, and we're going to get down to pray. If someone could lead us in a word of prayer. Doesn't have to be long. Just lead us in a word of prayer to conclude the message. Maybe one part, just one part of the message impressed you. Pray about that part.